Campo Lane runs along the north side of Sheffield Cathedral. In 1855, it was frequently covered in the thick smog that hung heavy over the city. The lane was reportedly haunted by a bar guest, a monstrous black dog with terrible teeth and claws, the appearance of which was often an omen of misfortune. In amongst the smog and the hauntings lived Hannah Rallison and her husband John. Their family had already had more than enough sorrow to contend with. Just 1 year before, their eldest son had been killed in an accident down the mines. But there was more unhappiness yet to come. Soon Hannah would also be dead. The cause of her death? She would come face to face with a ghost and die of fright. I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. The Rallisons were members of the Church of Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons. The sect was only a few decades old at the time, but already had tens of thousands of followers in England. Nearby, also on Campo Lane, lived John Favell, his wife, and her sister, fellow Mormons and friends of the Rallisons. The Favells had taken in a lodger named Harriet Ward, a somewhat imaginative woman with a strong interest in spiritualism. She was known to frequently be visited by the ghost of her dead husband and hear spirit rappings. Shortly after taking a room with the Favells, she converted to Mormonism. The Favells' home on Campo Lane was not a peaceful one. At night they would hear strange sounds, like someone stealing softly upstairs and a rapping in the garret as though someone were stamping gently with the foot. Their sense of unease came to a head early one morning when John Favell was heading out to work. Glancing at the window of the cellar kitchen as he passed, he saw a human figure all in white. He dashed back into the house all revved up to accost the burglar. But there was nobody in the room. Nothing was out of place apart from a broken jug. After John saw the white figure, none of the family would go downstairs to the cellar at night. Harriet Ward, however, was the exception. Her fascination with communicating with ghosts meant that, far from being afraid, she was eager to get another glimpse of the next world. But when she actually did see the ghost, her bravery seemed to vanish. At midnight on the 24th of February, the quiet of the household was broken by a frantic screaming from the cellar. Reluctantly venturing down the stairs, the Favells found Harriet in a state of shock, staring straight at the mantelpiece. "There," she cried, "don't you see it?" before fainting from the terror. When she came round, she told her concerned friends that she had seen an old woman dressed in a long white nightgown and a full-bordered cap. Over the course of the next 24 hours, Harriet Ward saw the ghost 5 times in all. She also had a dream in which the ghost led her to a purse of gold, buried under the stone cellar floor. The next afternoon, the Rallisons arrived at the Favells' house for lunch. While they were there, Harriet had another ghostly encounter, claiming that the ghost was standing on the cellar steps, with blood on its face and neck. According to her, it then knelt down in the corner of the cellar, in the spot that it had indicated in her dream, before disappearing. None of the assembled group saw anything. As one might expect, they turned to their faith for answers. That afternoon they attended a church meeting, and when they returned to Campo Lane they were accompanied by a group, among which were several Mormon elders. Of course, Mormons have prior form for being told to dig for gold by ephemeral entities. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, claimed that he was told by an angel to dig for the inscribed plates of gold which would become the text of the Book of Mormon. So before long, John Favell and his friends were pulling up flagstones from his cellar floor and digging for the purse of gold that the ghost had directed Harriet towards. They found nothing. A crowd had begun to gather outside, peering in through the cellar window and gossiping. A rumour was running through the crowd that the ghost was that of a murdered woman, who, potentially along with several others, had been buried under the house. This was pure speculation, founded on nothing more than Harriet's vision of the blood-stained spectre. Tensions were running high. As the residents, their friends and church elders gathered in the shop above, Mrs. Favell, annoyed that people were gawking at her house, asked her sister to cover the window with a blind. Her sister wasn't keen on the idea, afraid that she might see the ghost. Exasperated, Hannah Rallison offered to do it, calling talk of the ghost a lot of nonsense. she and her landlady, Mrs. Johnson, ventured down into the cellar. Watching Hannah hang the blind over the window, someone joked, "If the ghost comes down the steps, it will take you first." She turned to face the steps and suddenly stopped, horrified. "Oh, Mrs. Johnson, I saw something on the steps. Take me away," she shrieked in terror before collapsing on the floor in a dead faint. The men carried her out of the cellar and took her to a room upstairs. When she briefly regained consciousness, she told them that she had seen a female form dressed in white on the stairs, that it had seemed to approach her suddenly, became substance without form, and vanished as it rushed past her. Then she once again sank into a faint. Not to be outdone by Mrs. Rallison's sighting, Harriet Ward then announced that she could see the ghost again at the top of the cellar steps. The apparition opened its nightdress, revealing gory slashes in the neck and blood-soaked clothes, before beckoning to Harriet to follow it down the stairs. Wild-eyed, she followed, only to see the ghost disappear into the corner it had indicated before. Harriet then went into a trance, dictating information provided by the ghost as the gathered group eagerly wrote down her words. The spirit, she told them, was that of one Elizabeth Johnson, murdered by her nephew William Dawson in 1722, and buried beneath the cellar in a watery grave. The ghost's final message was this: "The garret and the cellar are now marked with my blood. You must quit this house, because William will trouble you if you don't." With this, Harriet fell into a faint and couldn't be brought round for a quarter of an hour. Hannah Rallison was taken home in a horse-drawn cab and put to bed. But this strong, healthy woman, who had endured so much sorrow and heartache after the death of her oldest son, never recovered from her shock. She died the next afternoon. The coroner determined that her death had certainly been caused by the fright she received on the previous day. On her death certificate, the cause is down as sudden death in a fit believed to have been brought on by fright. She's not the first person it's happened to. During the Spring Hill Jack scare of the late 1830s, a letter sent to the Lord Mayor of London claimed that in Stockwell, Brixton, Camberwell and Vauxhall, several people had died of fright after Spring Hill Jack had jumped out at them. These reports have little to back them up, but Spring Hill Jack did cause at least one death, according to the coroner, that is. 7-year-old Jane Halsall was playing with her friends one day in 1887, when they told her that Spring Hill Jack was supposedly on his way from Liverpool over to their hometown of Southport. Terrified, Jane voiced her concerns to her mother and father, who tried to calm her down, with very little luck. That night, Jane became ill, and by the time the doctor was called the next night, the child was already unconscious. Sadly, she never woke up. Her last words were, "The ghost is coming." The coroner announced that she had died from congestion of the brain due to fright, and the jury agreed, although modern researchers have determined that it's more likely Jane actually died of meningitis. It is, however, possible to die from fright. When we're frightened, the fight-or-flight response causes a surge of adrenaline. Too much of this can damage the heart, sometimes sending it into abnormal rhythms, which can lead to a sudden death. In 2009, Larry Whitfield broke into 79-year-old Mary Parnell's house in North Carolina. He was on the run after a bank robbery gone wrong and was looking for somewhere to hide. He didn't harm Mary, he didn't even touch her. But she was so afraid of the intruder that she had a heart attack brought on by terror. In court, it was ruled that he was responsible for what happened. He literally scared her to death. In 1885, in that dark house on Campo Lane, did Hannah Rallison really see a ghost? Or was she, along with the rest of the group, whipped up into a state of high emotion by Harriet Ward's supposed sightings, with the presence of church elders lending credence and gravity to the situation, and the rowdy crowd outside adding to the frantic atmosphere? Her straightforward attitude, offering to hang the blind over the window and calling Favell's sister's fear of seeing the ghost a lot of nonsense, makes for a curious situation. It doesn't sound like she was scared of seeing the ghost. It doesn't even sound like she actually believed it existed. Maybe she was the victim of mass hysteria. Or maybe she did really see something. One way or another, she still died of fright. Thank you for listening to Oddity. My main source of information for this episode was David Clark's fantastic article in the Fortean Times. The story also appears in his book, Scared to Death, and Other Ghost Stories from Victorian Sheffield. If you have any suggestions for topics you'd like to hear discussed, you can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time, for another journey into the strange and unexplained.